Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. It's September 26, 2022. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Paula Coons. Welcome, Paula. I'm delighted to have you with me.
Thanks, Gloria. It's great to visit with you today.
As you know, we start at the beginning, and I'm pretty sure you were not born in Oregon. Where were you born?
I was born in Washington, D.C. My family lived just outside of D.C. in Maryland.
And was that kind of a home area for your parents or some of your family?
Yeah, my dad was moved there when he was a child with his family from Virginia, and he lived there until fourth grade and then moved back to Virginia. But the family had some business connections in Maryland, and so that's where my parents settled when they were married.
How many siblings do you have, and where do you fit in the family?
There were five of us, and I'm second to the youngest. My dad would always raise his hand and say, "I have a handful," with his five fingers extended.
And can you give me a little sense of your siblings?
Sure. I have an oldest sister, and then there's a brother next who passed away actually when he was in his 20s. And then I have a sister who's 2.5 years older than me, and a younger brother who's 2 years younger.
What happened with your brother, and how old were you at that time?
Yeah, I was 24 when he passed away, and he would have been 28, I believe. But he had asthma and actually died of heart failure, having had an asthma attack, a pretty severe one. So he was married with a 16-month-old, and fortunately for our family, his wife Patty has remained one of us, and she and her new husband and a second son and our nephew, my brother's son, have stayed very close to our family. So we still have a family of five, just without my brother.
That must have been devastating for your family.
It was. It was completely unexpected, and it's been 39 years, and we talked about it just a few weeks ago. Yeah, he always stays young for our family, but we're just grateful to still have his son and his wife as part of our family as well.
As a child, were you living in a town or a small city, or were you out in the country?
It was a development, but we had 4 acres, so we had a very large garden, and 2 acres were pasture where we had a horse and a barn, so it felt country. There, we had a very large yard where, you know, our neighbor friends would come and play baseball and whatnot. So it felt like country, but we were pretty close to the city.
Tell me about this horse.
Yeah, it was my oldest sister's horse, Shadow. He was half Arabian, and so he was very feisty. He would bite. If you got anywhere close, he would try to bite you. So he wasn't the easiest horse to care for, but I still enjoyed riding him, and you just had to learn how to be on your toes to make sure you could stay out of his reach, which I wasn't always successful at.
Did you attend public school?
Yeah, I attended public school through 10th grade. And then all five of us kids were given the opportunity to go to Eastern Mennonite High School in Harrisonburg, Virginia, for our junior and senior years. They had dorms for the high school students back in that day, in those days. And so my mom actually, and my dad had both gone there. Mom was the child of a migrant family. They lived in Ohio in the summer and Florida in the winter. But for her senior year of high school, her dad had allowed her to go to Eastern Mennonite High School. And that year for her was so impactful, to be in one school for an entire year and to build those relationships. So they made that opportunity possible for the rest of us kids. And we all enjoyed our junior and senior, well, I enjoyed all of school, but we especially enjoyed those years of living in the dorm with kids from all over the country and being surrounded by Mennonites. Because in the public schools, our family was the Mennonite family in thousands of kids. So it was fun to be part of a Mennonite community in that setting.
And how far is Eastern Mennonite from where you were living?
It was about 2.5 hours.
So obviously, church was an important part of your growing up time. Tell me about church as a young child or as in your growing up years.
Yeah, so I was part of Hyattsville Mennonite Church. My dad was one of the founding people or one of the first people there when the church was started. All of us in the church kind of lived, you know, within a half hour of the church. So it was an urban church as such, where not everybody lived close, but we all prioritized coming to church and being part of that community. I felt very cared for and loved by the people there. As I've learned to know a bit more of the church, I think it started as, you know, kind of a break away from some of the traditions so that, you know, where the men weren't wearing their straight coats. What were they called? Anyway,
plain coats.
They were wearing ties and, you know, some of those things that weren't necessarily allowed in the more conservative parts of the church. So, and Hyattsville had continued being kind of in the forefront or pushing some edges. As I was growing up, when it came to women in leadership, they were a dual conference church. So I had both General Conference and Old Mennonite, for anyone who understands all the background stuff. So I had some really wonderful influences and people in my life growing up in the church.
Did your congregation grow while you were there?
Yeah, it did. I mean, it's still in the same building it was. They've done some remodeling, but it has grown. There were always young families coming in. And being around DC, there were just lots of people coming and going, people coming and working at embassies. And so we always had lots of international folks too. And that, so yeah. And VS unit, there was a voluntary service unit there. So lots of those folks in and out of our lives too.
How often did you go to Washington, D.C. for whatever reason, as a tourist or to take friends or family? Or
Yeah, that's interesting to reflect on. We would go with school trips. We would go down to the Smithsonian's and things. You know, I had visited, I'm sure, all the memorials and had walked through the town and gone to the zoo. But part of our growing up time, of my growing up time, would have been during the riots of the 60s and a lot of the protests and things. And so my family, I'll say unfortunately, but my family did not participate in those things. And we tended to stay away from the city during some of that. Fortunately, a number of people in the church were more active. And so I at least knew of some of it. Probably not quite as much as I would have known if I had been an adult during that time. But I always appreciated that my parents stayed living there while I was an adult. So when I'd go home, we'd always take a day to go downtown to explore the city and enjoy.
Do you have a favorite place or location in Washington? I like Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. We've been there many times as well. I'm just curious if there's sort of a special spot for you.
I still enjoy the Lincoln Memorial. I remember very clearly one of the docents, you know, explaining the hand position of Lincoln. I guess the person that carved that statue had, it seems to me it was a child that was deaf. And so in Abraham Lincoln's one hand is the letter A for Abraham, and in the other hand is the letter L for Lincoln. And I love pointing that out to people and to children. And it's, there's just so much richness there. I think the latest museum that I've enjoyed was the Holocaust Museum, and I say enjoyed in a very qualified way, but what an amazing place.
I never knew that about Abraham Lincoln's hands. Thank you for sharing that little tidbit. I had no idea.
Well, and the letter L, the finger is curved down because they didn't want it to look like he was pointing. So it's not a direct L, but it's a curved L for Lincoln.
So you were growing up, you went to Eastern Mennonite High School, and what came next?
So then I traveled out to Central Kansas to Heston College and studied 2 years there.
And did you at that point have any idea what you were kind of aiming for in terms of a major or?
Not especially. I knew I enjoyed children, and so I took, you know, a couple of children's classes. I didn't know if I liked preschool or elementary or but I knew I enjoyed children. So I kind of went that direction.
Did you have a choice as to where you wanted to go to college? I mean, did your parents say the world is your oyster, or they kind of aim you toward a certain Mennonite school, or what was that story? You'd been in Harrisonburg for two years.
Right. We had a choice, because I remember I was debating very much between Eastern Mennonite College, then university now, and Heston. My older siblings had gone to Heston, so I was comfortable with that place as well. And so in the end, I chose Heston.
And then?
Then I met Bruce. We were in choir together and just had some mutual friends. Bruce was a year ahead of me in school, so he headed off during my sophomore year. He went into voluntary service in South Texas. And so I decided, if this relationship, after a year of writing letters, we decided that maybe it would be good if we could live closer. So I moved to South Texas, to Brownsville, for a year, for his second year of school. And I lived in an apartment with a former voluntary service woman, and I worked at the daycare there at the Spanish-speaking Mennonite church.
So you didn't join voluntary service, you simply moved to Brownsville.
Correct. That's right.
I'm sure that at some point you started to learn Spanish. When did that start for you?
I had studied it my sophomore year at Heston, and then I just learned a lot of it by listening in church and by reading. And it's funny looking back on it now, but yeah, that was my beginning on how I learned. I mean, I would learn songs just by listening to them. I didn't know what the words were, but if it's repeated often enough, I could sing it. And then I would see it written. It's like, oh, that's not how I put those syllables together in my mind. But anyway, I began learning a lot then.
So when you moved to Texas, you went to a Spanish-speaking church?
Correct, yeah. Iglesia Menonita del Cordero. It had the voluntary service unit there on the church property. They had their unit there, so it was a very good, just a wonderful church full of wonderful people. So then Bruce and I got engaged and married in the summer of 80 after he got out of VS, and we moved to Goshen, Indiana.
Where was the wedding?
Oh, the wedding was at Lauraville Mennonite Church Center in Pennsylvania. That's a camp that our family had gone to every summer since I was 2 years old. We would go for music week. And I worked there in the summers between college and anyway, it was a lovely weekend wedding where we could have friends around for some time before the wedding.
I did mean to ask you whether camp was any kind of part of your life as you were growing up, and obviously it was a very important part.
It was.
And so you went to Goshen because?
Because we didn't have any other place that we especially wanted to go, and we had been in conversation with a couple of friends. They were Colorado friends for Bruce, Heston friends for me, and they had both done 2 years of voluntary service and were finished with their terms. Anyway, we bought a house together, the four of us, and lived in a community for the 2.5 years that we were there, our first 2.5 years of marriage. And that was a very rich experience, too.
Can you give me the names of your friends?
Sure, because some PMCers will know some of these. So Les Zook, who's now Les Gustafson Zook. Les was one of those. And then Kevin Miller, who is married to Becky Stalsvis, who's the president of Goshen College now. Kevin was another. Kevin and Becky were just dating at that point. So anyway, Les and Kevin and Bruce and I.
So you moved in with three guys.
Yeah, mainly with one, but the other two were there. Actually, we had another woman who rented from us, Carol Rempel. And so there were five of us most of the time. And we each took a turn cooking once a week, and Saturdays was always pancake night, whoever got home first to make pancakes and syrup, and then Sunday we were on our own. So lots of together time.
So were you going to the college, either of you, or you just chose Goshen because you knew people?
We chose Goshen because we knew people. We did each take a class or two while we were there, but we were mainly working. I was working at a United Way kindergarten, and Bruce was doing construction.
Your idea of working with children was becoming a reality.
Yes, it was.
And what is it about children?
Oh, there are so many things about children. I love their joy. I love their laughter. I love helping them learn as they grow. I don't know. They enrich my spirit.
And which church were you attending at that point?
In Goshen, we were part of Assembly Mennonite, which had two clusters, one on campus and one off campus. And we were in the off campus cluster.
So you said you were there for 2.5 years,
mm-hmm.
and you had bought this house together with these two other gentlemen. What came next?
So the house was kind of a fixer-upper, and we did some work on it, but we had to pay, Bruce and I paid, well, each of us paid $50 a month for our mortgage. Our mortgage was $200 total. So, we got a little equity in it, but we moved then back to Brownsville, Texas, and Bruce joined one of the former VSers in a construction business. And at that point, I went back to school at Pan American University in Brownsville. And I started studying for education at that point.
Did you buy another house?
No, we just rented there. And as it turned out, then I got pregnant with our son, Marcos. And we did not end up staying in Brownsville very long. We decided to move to Colorado to be closer to Bruce's family. Bruce's family was in La Junta, and we lived in that area. Let's see if this is true. No, this is not true. With Marcos, okay, Marcos was just born. That's our son. We moved up to Rocky Mountain Mennonite Camp. He was born in Brownsville, but when he was a month old, we moved up to the camp, and Bruce was head of maintenance at the camp for a number of years. And during that time, he and I both, we would be at camp in the summer, and then in the fall, we would move to Colorado Springs and go back to school. And we finished our schooling at the University of Colorado in Colorado Springs.
Going to say, it sounds like you interrupted your education yet again.
Yes.
When you got pregnant and decided to move.
All of the transferring between Heston and a couple of Goshen and South Texas, yeah, it took a while, but we finally got through school and got our teaching degrees, both of us.
So you got a bachelor of...
My bachelor's actually was in psychology. For whatever reason, the University of Colorado did not have an education bachelor's, but you've got a degree in something and then went a fifth professional year to get your teaching certificate. So,
was there a school close by that needed you, I'm guessing?
Well, then things got interrupted one more time when we were asked by MCC to consider going back to Mexico. Well, I should say Bruce studied his final semester of his Spanish degree in Mexico. We lived in Guadalajara. And so we were in contact with the MCC unit that lived there, or that was there close, and they were friends of ours. So they were leaving, and MCC needed someone to come in and fill in for them for a few years. So we ended up, as soon as we graduated, moving to Mexico to be country reps for Mexico.
And did you have an idea how long that was going to be for?
Yeah, most country reps are there for a five-year term. We knew we were only going to do 3 years because they had someone else coming from Bolivia that was lined up. They just needed an interim. So we were interim country reps.
I'm very familiar with MCC as well, so all of those terms sound really familiar. Since I worked in the Africa department at the headquarters for many years in Pennsylvania. So in addition to your responsibilities as country representatives, and you also have a baby or a little boy, were you also then doing other work with MCC? Like, were you teaching at all? Or
no, we were full-time country reps. There was only one other couple from the United States there, but there were eight other, at least, Mexican employees of MCC. Most of those were in Mexico City, which was 8 hours from where we lived. So there was a fair bit of traveling, lots of meetings, and I schooled Marcos. He was ready for kindergarten, so I did his kindergarten year just to give him some English basics and let him have some time learning Spanish before he went to school in the public school.
Is there any incident or any person or people that bring back particular memories of your time in Guadalajara?
Yeah, so we were south of Guadalajara 2 hours in a little, I say little town, it's not all that little, but Ciudad Guzman. Boy, there are so many people. Patty Martinez was a social worker from Guadalajara who came down and helped with the starting of some of our cooperatives. That we had a credit union and a sewing co-op and a pig co-op, just all kinds of different community development things going on. And she would come down and stay with us in our home. And I just found her to be so wonderfully gracious and kind and willing to sit with me and figure out what I was trying to say when my Spanish wasn't perfect. And anyway, I found that a lot in many people.
So you knew that this assignment was for 3 years. Did you have any idea or plan for what came next, or how did that happen?
Yeah, we did not know where, but I did know that I wanted to teach. And so our acceptance of that position for 3 years put my teaching on hold. And Bruce had gotten his teaching degree as well, so we knew we wanted to do that. So we moved back to Colorado. We had put out some applications here and there, and Bruce got a teaching job just north of La Junta in the small community of Chirau. And so we moved to La Junta, and that was challenging to go from Mexico City. So our last 6 months of living in Mexico, we were actually in Mexico City, which is a huge beast, and we enjoyed that as well. But moving from Mexico City to the little tiny town of La Junta was that was a big move. And it took me a while to be able to say that I was living in La Junta. I'd say I live in Colorado, but Bruce worked at Chirau, taught Spanish there. A couple years later, I taught third grade there, and it was a wonderful community to teach in. It was a wonderful community to live in, and I embraced La Junta after some time.
You've made a lot of moves in your life.
We haven't even gotten to the rest. You moved to Virginia then, and then we moved back to Colorado Springs. And now we're in Portland.
How long were you in La Junta before you moved back to Virginia, and why did you make that move?
So we were in La Junta, I think, 8 years. And that was the longest our son had ever lived anywhere. He was always proud of the fact that by the time he was 9, he had lived in 9 homes. I mean, that first month was one home in Brownsville, you know, and anyway, it was small.
It counts.
It counts. And he liked that fact. So we moved to Virginia because we offered him the opportunity to go to Eastern Mennonite High School if he wanted to for his junior and senior year. We were not wanting to send him across country by himself. And my parents were still living out in Maryland, so we wanted to live closer to them if we could. So we moved to Virginia. He wanted to go to EMHS. But we got there, and within a month and a half, Bruce's dad passed away in Colorado. And so we kind of quickly knew that we needed to move back to Colorado once Marcos graduated from high school to be a support to Bruce's mom. So our trip to Virginia was just a 2-year trip. We loved it. We enjoyed Harrisonburg as adults very much. But then we moved back to Colorado to be closer to Bruce's mom and help her.
And then you made one more, at least, important move, because you're somehow in Portland, Oregon for some reason. So tell us why and when.
Right. Well, our son Marcos married our wonderful daughter-in-law, Beth. And Marcos and Beth Wright Coons settled here in Portland and had been here a number of years, had 2 beautiful twin boys that were born. And we stayed in Colorado for the first 4 years of the boys' life. And Marcos and Beth would often jokingly say, boy, it'd be nice to have grandparents around. But I just always thought that they would move to Colorado if they really wanted to be around us, because we weren't planning on moving. But at some point, we asked them if they were really serious when they'd say that, and they said, oh, yeah, we would love to have you here. So we checked out our calendars to see when we could take our earliest retirement from our teaching jobs in Colorado, and we made it out here in 2018 and have been here now for the second 4 years of Jamie and Gabe's life, and are enjoying very much being involved with them.
And since you only have one child, you didn't have to make that excruciating decision as to which child you wanted to live near. So
exactly.
We had that same situation with one daughter. She's here and here we are. And so a very similar story.
Yeah, that is very true. We've enjoyed that.
And you found Portland Mennonite Church.
That was, yes. We knew that we wanted to be part of this congregation. Marcus and Beth came to PMC when they were first moved to the area, and so we had visited. We immediately loved the singing. That was such a gift. Our congregation in Colorado Springs, where we had lived before moving here, had a beautiful facility, but it was not built around the acoustics of the sanctuary, and so the acoustics were never good. So it was lovely coming to PMC and hearing all of those wonderful voices.
And you have dived right in, to put it mildly, both of you, to the life of Portland Mennonite. Just tell me briefly some of the things. And you also have this fair trade moving store. So right. Tell me a bit about that whole story.
Right. Well, over the years, in La Junta, there was an MCC store that had fair trade and also had thrift. It was called the Crossroads, and I would volunteer there once a week, and I just loved working there. Bruce's mom was one of the early managers of the store, so I just have always stayed dabbling in fair trade as a volunteer with the MCC Relief Sale in Colorado. I would often do the fair trade store there. Anyway, it was something that I thought I want to be involved with when I retire, and I contacted a couple of other fair trade mobile stores where they had like a truck that they would take and sell out of. And so I thought, well, I didn't want to commit to a brick and mortar because we were retired. We didn't want to do that. But I wanted to somehow do something mobile. So we started Just Cause, and Bruce supports that wholeheartedly. And I'm so grateful that he helps me with setups and teardowns and in the middle.
Well, Paula, what an amazing story you have. First of all, we're thrilled that you ended up at Portland Mennonite Church with all of your wonderful skills and your involvements. And thank you so much for taking time to share just moments of your amazing life.
Well, thank you, Gloria.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. If something you heard raised questions or you discovered a connection, take the opportunity to reach out and continue the conversation. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.